old, so I don't remember.
Whose turn is it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, go ahead, Julie.
Dearly Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for all the girls that wanted to come up here and pray for you tonight. Thank you for everybody who was here and made it here safely. And thank you for everyone that is not here but is healthy and safe. And if they're sick and busy or whatever's going on, put both hands on them. Thank you for a good school year coming to the end for everyone and soon to be a good summer. Thank you for all the teachers this school year and all the students this school year and that you kept them healthy and safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Jesus, say first day, just hope everybody has a good time, Lord, for Monday because we have a vacation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy first, go to the kitchen. I will go to camping. Amen.
Jesus, thank you for this day today. I pray that we have a great day. And I pray for anyone who's sick or is at home, please put their hand on them. And I pray for just some people that doesn't have a home, anything, just please get them one. And I pray for someone like sick, please put their hand on them. And I pray for anyone who doesn't have a home, please put their hand on them. I love you in Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day today. I pray that we have a great day, and thank you for letting my mom's birthday go well. And I pray for anyone who's sick or hurt, please put your hand on them. We love you in Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you did in Jesus' name, amen.
I pray that my grandma and my grandfather both get better by the end of the year and that we all have a good rest of the year and a good rest of the week. Amen.
Amen. All right. Good job, girls. All right. Listen, before you leave, girls, hold on. You left me. Hold on. Ready? Before we leave, we got to sing happy birthday to Miss Bethany. Today is Miss Bethany's birthday. You ready? All right. So really good and loud. We're going to sing happy birthday. God bless you. Okay. So we're going to sing it really good and loud. You ready? On three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, good job. All right, while you're standing, turn your hymn books to page 505. Love Lifted Me. We'll sing three verses tonight of Love Lifted Me. Page 505. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him all cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service true to him belong. Love lifted me. Love of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows as wild as earth. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. For our final hymn to page 238. 238. We'll sing it twice through. The King is coming. Do you believe that today? The King is coming and he's coming for me. Amen. And so we're going to sing page 238 twice through. The King is coming. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, the book of Jude says. I could get a couple guys, hand out these outlines, I would be eternally grateful. I'll tell you thanks in heaven if you do this tonight as well. I appreciate you guys. Outline there. Thank you, Miss Jennifer. Appreciate you this evening. If you want to be turning your Bibles while they pass that out to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, we're looking this week at close proximity as we continue on with our study of becoming a contagious Christian, and we're looking tonight at this second part of the equation of close proximity. Last week we looked at high impact, now plus this CP, close proximity, as we are looking to have maximum input and maximum output essentially in our lives. Let me share with you a couple of announcements and then we'll look at some prayer requests. Want to remind everyone tomorrow night is Grow. At 6:30, we'll meet for our Grow Ministry at Clayton Park. It's a lot of walking tomorrow, I'll tell you that much. There's not a real good place to park. There's a lot of street walking as well on kind of the highway. There's no sidewalks where we're walking tomorrow. So we want to make sure that if you've got kids, you want to keep them close to you. We're going to separate into two different spots. One group's going to the left, one group's going to the right. There's not a lot of houses, but there is a ton, and I mean a ton of actual walking to do. So just know that as we go. And then also, I want to remind you all that tomorrow, as we do that Grow Ministry, to stay tuned to the bulletin because we'll have the next week another place to go in Canvas, and that address will be in the bulletin. So look Sunday for where we're going to meet each week. We're trying to find places with as many people as we come. We broke our record earlier in the year with 34 people at Grow, and then broke it again with like 40-something, and then last week we broke it again with 54 people at Grow. And so the more people that keep showing up to Grow, the bigger areas we need. And so like last week where we walked and walked and walked, so know that we're trying to do these bigger areas where there's lots of walking before it gets too hot, and then we'll get back to more subdivisions and actually knocking on doors once we get into the hotter months where we're trying to still stay out there, but it's a little more difficult to do all that walking. So tomorrow is a long walk. I'm just being honest with you. You're probably going to walk 2 miles if you come tomorrow. So if you're not willing to walk 2 miles,
You can drive. You can drive up the hill. So we're just going to meet down at the park, and then we're going to drive our cars up in those separate ways. We're going to drive up, so don't leave your car. We're going to park down there, go through our meeting so we can tell you which way we're going, set up rate in groups, and then we'll drive over to make it a little bit easier. Otherwise, we'll have to walk a mile just to get to a house. All right? So that's what we're doing tomorrow. We've got a couple of things coming up. There's a baby shower for Sister Sophie McInerney. You can find that information in your bulletin. Also, a ladies' meeting coming up in June. You can find that as well. Want to encourage you, get your children, get your grandchildren signed up for Vacation Bible School for the kids' summer program. We need those numbers for registration reasons so that we have enough supplies for each of those ministries. So if you've not signed up your children, age 4 through 5th grade, we really, really need that, okay? And so we want you to get those emailed. The other thing that's really important we only have, as sad as this is, it's almost June. And June 1st, our digital church directory goes live. If you've not submitted your email to Miss Nancy, we don't have anybody's emails unless you send them to Miss Nancy, okay? So you've got to send your email to Nancy if you want to be part of the church's directory, because that's essentially your password, your name and your email, because that way visitors can't just come in and have access to your addresses and birthdays and those things, only our church family. And we're never going back to a printed directory. We're always going to do it digitally now because the world is leaving that. You know, it's hard to find a newspaper, isn't it? It's all digital. And so it's way more cost effective. The other reason why you need to send your email to me is because that's how you're going to get messages from the pastor. All right, I'll email you. So if there's a weather alert, if you don't do social media, we post that stuff on there. But if you don't do social media, that's our one call system. It goes through email. So if I wanted to remind everybody to bring a dessert for Friend Day, I'll send an email. So that's how you're going to get that. So if you're a husband and wife and you want that on your phone, on your smartphone, that app, we have to have both of your email addresses. It won't do two separate because that's a password. That's a protection. So you can't have the same password for your phone. I mean, you could make it the same, but they're two different. And so in order for you to get into that, we need everybody's email. If you don't know how to do that, if you don't have an email address, certainly we can help you. It's free. We'll set you up with a Gmail or whatever account just for that. And you don't have to get any other mail. But if you want mail from the pastor and to be a part of the church directory, there's instructions on how to get the app out front, and Nancy will set that up to go live June 1st, and that's how we'll have a church directory. If you ask me what somebody's address is, but you don't send your email address, I'm not going to tell you. If you ask me what somebody's birthday is, and you haven't submitted your email address, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to say, submit your email address to Sister Nancy Cunningham and find out for yourself. All right? No. But we'll help you as much as we can. But seriously, get those in. If you want a new picture, if you got an updated picture, you had a baby since then, you moved since then, get that information in there as well so we have all the accurate information in the bulletin. We have 3 new Sunday school classes starting. We need to pray for Brother Carter. He is at the hospital with some kidney stones. He suffers from that severely tonight, so he is there. So pray for Brother Carter, but his new class is called Rightly Dividing. It's a class about dispensationalism that we've been talking about for 4 years to do. We are a dispensational believing church, and we want to teach that, so he'll be teaching that. And then Sister Randy Sternscher is going to be teaching the ladies' class, and that is Stewarding Life, I believe it's called, about stewarding all different aspects of life, even health and these different things. I've taught that series before, and it's a wonderful series, and so I encourage you ladies to be a part of that. And then I'm going to be teaching discipleship. It's my turn to teach discipleship, and so new believers and Baptists. So if you're new to salvation, if you've just been saved recently or you're new to the Baptist church, that's the class I'll be teaching over in the nursing room on Sunday mornings at 9:15. Those start next week, because this week, Brother Kent York will be here. And so Brother York is going to be teaching Sunday school and preaching in the morning. If Brother Carter's well, he's going to preach for us in the evening. But Brother York is going to do everybody's Sunday school in here from youth up, perhaps the oldest of the younger classes too. But ladies, you're in here as well. It's given us a week to start fresh in June with our new series. And so everybody will be in here with Brother York this Sunday at 9:15. Last thing I want to announce is that we have several opportunities to serve at Vacation Bible School. And so if you'd like to serve in any capacity there and you're not already doing something, see Brother Jeremy. He can help you with that. We've got some great news. Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Brandon did a great job. Now our bus passed inspection, so our bus is ready to go. We're going, yeah, amen. They did a good job. Brother Jeremy drove it up Monday. And so we're going to be getting that plated and licensed tomorrow and on our insurance. And so The kids will be able to take the bus to church camp for the first time ever. So we're excited about that. It's all ready and running and good to go. So good job on that. And then Brother Brandon preached his first funeral yesterday, and we got a praise there. It was kind of a last-minute thing. I gave him an outline. I said, time to go swimming, buddy. I'm not doing it. So here it is. Here's the outline. And he preached, and 20 people got saved, professions, and talked to those people. Yeah. And so that was yesterday. He did a good job. And so we're excited about that as well, and how Brother Brandon, how God used him in that. All right, a couple of prayer requests. We need to be praying for Nicholas Britton. Denise is not here tonight. Her and Paul are on vacation, but their son Nicholas, they think tick-related disease. He's got a swollen hand and arm. He's not feeling well at all, not doing well, a young guy. So pray for Nicholas Britton. He's got to go to the infectious disease doctor and figure out what's going on there, but they think it's something tick-related, not good there. And then Bill Salyer, we were given information from Bill. Miss Linda is not doing well with it. He was diagnosed with dementia yesterday, and he's really struggling and kind of violent and was in the hospital, in the behavioral hospital, and having a lot of hallucinations and not doing well at all. Miss Linda, as you could imagine, is having a really hard time. So keep Bill and Linda in your prayers as well. And then I also want to just mention that our friend Jerry Williams, it's actually Wilma and Bev's cousin. He's home. He's doing some better. But continue to pray for him as he had been down with his cancer and had been in the VA hospital forever. It seems like over a month. And so he's home, so we're thankful for that. Pray for our missionaries to Canada. One of our sets, Corey and Cora Wilcher, new picture there with both of their babies, doing a good job. They were just officially indoctrinated as career missionaries at the BBFI, Baptist Bible Fellowship International Missions Agency. And so they're going to do a great job in Canada, praying for those young families and all of our missionary families today. And we want to make sure that you are praying for them as well and reading those letters. I give you some praises before I take prayers from you guys, but our largest ever attendance at Assurance Baptist Church Sunday, over 225 people at final count. And so I think 228 is the final number. And so God is good. We had five people saved, five people that tugged on me. We had six eyes, but five people actually came up to me afterwards and said they believed that. We're following up with all those people. We actually have six people to get baptized. And so we have one this Sunday. We've got a couple on June 4th, Miss Tori and her daughter Robbie that Brother Jeremy led to the Lord. He's going to baptize them on the 4th. And we got a couple other folks, the young couple that got Alex, the husband that got saved. They came for it Sunday 2 weeks in a row because they said, well, we need to get baptized now. So they're going to be getting baptized here. And we've got Miss Misty Idings, Sierra's mom. She came for it. She's going to get baptized on June 25th, I think it is. And so we're going to have a busy time. So if you smell chlorine, when you walk in, if you're like, I think I smell chlorine, you do, because that's what's in the baptistry. Keep it clean. So you see this floating blue thing in there. So because I'm like, well, that's a lot of water to drain, Brandon. So let's make a pool. So we did. And so we're excited about that. But if you need to be baptized or you know somebody that does, now's a good time because God has opened up the waters. Amen. He's weighed in the water. Let's do it. He's stirring them up. So I'm excited about that. So we'll have a good day. But then Sunday with Memorial Day weekend, I just implore you to be careful, be safe. If you're leaving town, be very safe. If you're not leaving town, come here and invite your lost friends. Brother York, you know, has a powerful way as an evangelist to see people saved. That's the only reason I invite him back, because otherwise I don't like him. But just kidding. No, I just talked to him on the phone. He's really excited. And I told him, if you're coming, Brother Jaden's going to like this. I said, the only way you're allowed to come is if you sing the Kent York song, right? And so he said, okay, brother. He said, Brother Bryson, I can do that. I'm excited, brother. And so he's going to be here and preaching Sunday morning. And so be excited about that. Invite your lost friends. All right. Friend Day, I can't thank you enough. We had over 31 first-time visitors. We had over 50 altogether people who came back to the church. 50 people that haven't been here in 2023. I know who won, but I'm going to announce that Sunday and give those prizes. One of them's here tonight. I won't tell you who that is, but the winner's here tonight, but you don't know who that is. But I'll announce that, keep a little suspense. Also, the basketball game went well. Team Cockman actually won. Carter's not here to get his glory, so sorry. But Team Brister was up 10-0. The game started 10-0 because they won the actual contest, March Madness. But it was a great game if you weren't there. 22-20. We played to 21. The game was 22-20. And it was like my Lakers. LeBron Ray Hottinger let him down at the end and didn't hit the game winner. He had made a lot of shots, but in the clutch, he's like LeBron. He just doesn't have that Jordan gene. Sorry. but they had a good time. And then the kids game, the girls kind of played. And I want to say, Jaleese and Madison, I thank you. I think there's still some hurt feelings. They destroyed the boys. And Jaleese and Madison were knocking the ball out of the boys' hand and blocking their shots and talking a little trash. And so Junior Church Sunday could get rowdy. I think there could be some hurt feelings. And I'm glad I'll be over here. It could get fierce over there. The boys want a rematch. I said, I'm not going over there nowhere near them because they were beating y'all down. But we had a good time. But I want to say thank you. Everybody that served, everybody was just here and friendly. I consistently hear about our church, how it's just friendly. And you look at our crowd now. We already had church day. We had Wednesday afternoon, and there was a lot of people here. You look at the crowd here on a Wednesday night. The youth couldn't fit in the youth room tonight. They're all in the fellowship hall right now. It is amazing. And so I want to thank you for serving. If you were just here, if you were just praying, whatever it was, it all came together very easy, very smooth. God blessed us with great weather, and so we're excited. That being said, after church tonight, if you didn't see it on Facebook, there's plenty of food left, so it's warmed up. Not the potato salad. Everything is warmed up, ready to go, and there's dessert and things over there. So after church, there's some tables set up. Go over there and help us get rid of some of this food. My wife was like, I know what you're going to do with it. You're going to throw it away. And she's right, because I always feel slimy about taking it to, like, they're like, well, you can take it to the homeless shelter. You can take it somewhere. And I'm like, I feel slimy about that. Like, we can do better than that. We can buy them some new stuff. Like, that's just me. I know you're probably like, that's wasteful. We have enough money to do better than that. I would get them something new and fresh. I don't want to just give them our leftovers. That's just me. I know that's not everybody's thing. But yeah, so that's where we're at. I'm excited about that. Great job. Way to be here. Way to serve. I told Brandon it was amazing. By 10 a.m., we already had 140 people here. And I was looking around going, so people that we didn't necessarily give a job were just here, prepared, ready to go. And I start going, we're going to need a bigger boat. I don't know where we're going to put all these people. And it worked out for God's glory. But all you singers, everybody that sang, man, I tell you what, Sister Randy, the Bowles family, Hatcher family, my Sister Olivia, the other people were here this afternoon. Am I missing anybody? Miss Cynthia sang her solo in choir. All of you guys, man, powerful and impactful. I thought about, we could do that every week and we could charge people for a concert. $10 a head. We'll be building in no time, huh? So that's all I need is for them to say, you know that church charges you to come to church every Sunday? But God is good, so thank you. Thank you. All right, let's take some prayer requests here from the field. We're praying. Our kids did, girls did a wonderful job of praying tonight, but let's pray here. Miss Crystal?
She's got osteomyelitis, she's got discitis, she's got severe edema of her bone marrow. I don't know what all it means, I just know it's bad enough that our doctor had her flown out.
Yeah.
So she'll be 80 in July, so it's a lot.
Not
dealing with a lot of pain for about 2 years now, and they finally figured it out.
Joyce Stoner, got it. Bethany, did you have your hand up?
Going from my neck down my left side, so I have to have a bunch of tests done on my nerves, and then I'll have to have an MRI because my left hand isn't reacting like the way it should whenever my brain tells it to do something.
Okay.
Obviously, my job is not good.
No. Okay, put Sister Bethany on and her testing and things going on there. Right? Ray and Tori engaged to be married here in the end of July. Keep Matt and Randy in your prayers as well. They're engaged to be married in October. What's that?
Who's engaged to get married?
Ray and Tori.
Oh, you ain't gonna say nothing to nobody.
You didn't know that? They were engaged when they got here. And so then Matt and Randy as well.
Remember little buddy Gray?
Yep.
Gray Campbell?
Mm-hmm. Campbell? Yeah. Anybody else on this side? Go ahead, Declan. Haley, do you have one?
My grandma Ruth had a stroke last weekend.
What's her last name?
Plowman.
Yep. Ruth Plowman. Had a stroke there. She's on your list, but she is under, if you look on your left side down there, under Sherry Salyer. If you see that. Keep praying for Sister Sherry as well. If you didn't know, Sherry has these knots on her neck, but they're not cancerous. We did find that out. So that's a blessing. All right, anybody else on this side before? Kathy Stephan.
Yes, S-T-E-F-F-E-N.
Okay. And Miss Bethany's new salon job there. That's awesome. Anybody else on this side? Okay. Miss Mickey, I see you on this side. Okay.
Yeah, the update on my list says she goes back to Bananas on the 31st. She was here Sunday with me.
Yeah. Yep. So Miss Melissa Benitez has been going through cancer treatment and cancer and remission and getting it back for several years, but God's been good and giving you more birthdays and more Christmases with her. And she was here Sunday, so that's an amazing feat for Melissa. She's had a hard, rough time. All right. Starling? Yes. So Shade Hackney, Darlene's son. Okay. Can so Jack Cooper, second to last person on your health file there. It's Brother Kenton's grandpa. He's on there. Praying for him. Anybody else on my right? Yeah. Pastor Randy?
Chastity King, I don't know if she's still, yeah, she's still on the list. Mm-hmm. Her husband informed me that they have to start all over with all those tests because they can't figure out what's wrong with her. They said it could be cancer and then it could not be.
Chastity King, she's on that same side as Jack Cooper, just about five or six names up there. All right. Well, let's look here in our Bible. We're thankful for those requests. We'll get those added. Again, update those requests. Let us know, because Miss Nancy, after about a month, if we don't have them written down as a continual thing, or we haven't had an update for a while, we delete those to make room, because sometimes, unfortunately, if we don't know, sometimes there's been times where somebody's passed away and nobody told us. And if they're saved and in heaven, we don't need to pray for them no more. Amen. Amen. They're praying for us. So we just want to take care of those things. All right, we're looking in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 27 tonight. Looking at close proximity. Even the most highly potent person makes little impact for the kingdom if he doesn't get out and get the salt out of the shaker every once in a while, right? Salt's no good if it stays in the shaker. This week, we're going to investigate why close proximity is so important and how to make it work. You've heard me say it a million times, but Christian, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. This is a great church, but this church will become greater when individually, not just the pastors or leaders are winning people to the Lord, but when you individually win people to Christ and bring them in. You know, Friend Day is amazing because all the canvassing and grow that we do, I don't know that anybody came because of that, but when you individually invite people, they come. You have a greater impact. And so we've got to get out of our comfort zone, and you've heard me say it, but I believe this, that a comfort zone is a wonderful place, but nothing ever grows there. We've got to get out of our comfort zone to see it grow. And the church is the same way. I'm reading the second part of this curriculum. I'm reading a book called Becoming a Contagious Church. And I'm not going to do it as a series, but before we can ever become a contagious church, we've got to become contagious individual Christians. This church, I always say it all the time, this church doesn't grow because of me. It grows because of individuals getting on fire for the Lord. And that's what we need to see continuing to happen in our lives. Luke 5, verse 27. We read here, and after these things, he went forth, Jesus, and saw a publican named Levi. Now, I know the publicans are Jewish tax collectors. The Romans had their own IRS system, but the Jews have these publicans, and they were really more like toll booth workers. And as you passed from city to city, they were charging you. And they were overcharging and pocketing some of the money. And so they were scoundrels. They were guys that people didn't like. If you've ever been anywhere where they have Easy Pass, it was like having Easy Pass. You have to buy it. And you're like, I'm driving. I pay federal taxes and I pay state taxes, but I have to drive and pay a toll road inside of here. It's like double dipping, isn't it? You have to get an Easy Pass in some of the northeastern states and Texas and those places. And it's kind of annoying. But if you go down through West Virginia, I think it's I-77, you go that way, you have to go through all these toll roads, and you're like, didn't somebody's taxes already pay for this? But now I got to pay $5 to pass through. And it's like all these people are the grumpy old trolls that live under the bridge there. They're like, give me your money, right? And it's annoying. This is kind of what the publicans are. And whether you like them or not, we all hate those toll roads. We're all like, ah. Well, this is who the publicans are. This is what's going on here in around Jerusalem at this time. And so Levi was there, a man named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. Levi, now I know there's Levi as a English name that we call people, but really it's the root. Really the name is Lewis in the Greek, if you didn't know that. But we also know that this was his Greek name and that his Christian name is Matthew. So the gospel writer Matthew, this is Levi, they're one and the same person. If you never knew that, that's who this is. And he's sitting there, and this publican named Levi, he's sitting there, and Jesus walks by, and Jesus simply says, follow me. If it was only that simple, it'd grow. Hey, follow me. We're having church Sunday, and somebody just did what Levi does. And he rose up. He left all and rose up and followed him. Levi left all the money there, all the things he'd gained. He left all of his property. He left all of his family. He got up, and he followed Jesus. I hope tomorrow night that we go to Grow, and I say, follow me. And someone just stands up and says, I don't want this house anymore, and they just follow us to ABC. Wouldn't that be amazing? Probably not going to happen. But this is all Jesus said, and he does that. And in verse 29, Levi made him a great feast in his own house. This is something else I wish would happen. The next person I lead to the Lord, I hope they invite me to their house for something to eat. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, thank you so much. I'm so thankful that you've told me about Jesus. Why don't you come and eat at my house? Well, praise you. Thank you, son. Let's come over. And here was a great company of publicans and of the others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees, the religious people, the religious elite, the politicians, murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Scripture questions tonight. Again, this is communications workshop, less preaching and more teaching and conversation. Why do you think Levi invited the tax collectors and others to his house to join in the banquet with Jesus? Well, what did he know about him? All he knew was to follow him. This is just a question. I'm just communicating. You're not wrong. I'm just communicating. Just, what did he know about him?
He was Jesus.
He heard about him? Okay, good, yeah. He was fame. Okay, spread the feeling. Yeah, just talk out. You don't got to raise your hand. Just talk out. We're talking. This is more Sunday school format. I miss teaching Sunday school sometimes.
They were probably his only friends,
too. Only friends, good. There's a really simple reason, I think. What's that?
He wants to save all.
Amen. But now remember the question. Why do you think Levi invited these other tax collectors and people to the house? There's a really, really easy reason. What alone? Okay. Now, this is something that I would enjoy because he wanted to break bread with somebody. He wanted to eat. He wanted to have, sometimes it's good to have a conversation. He wanted to have dinner or lunch with somebody, right? He just wanted to have some friends over to the house. And when you have somebody important coming over, if, I don't know who's somebody important that I would care about, but if I had somebody very important, if Kenton McInerney was coming to my house, I would want you all to be a part of that so you could sup with Brother Kenton, right? A great dignitary of our time. This is kind of that thing where it's like, if somebody famous comes to town, everybody's alerted. I could care less about the governor as far as being in Troy, but the governor's always in Troy for some reason. Mike DeWine is always in Troy. He's down in the roundabout all the time. And whenever he's down there, there's always big photo ops. The governor was down at Purebred Coffee. I could care less. I don't really need to go see the governor, but it's a big deal, right? And you know what happens when they know he's coming? They start spreading word around town. The governor's going to be at Purebred tomorrow. The governor's going to be at Grandpa Joe's. And I'm like, great, that just means traffic's going to be blocked off by my house. But that's kind of what's going on here. That's good. What about the second question? Did the Pharisees frequently rub shoulders with sinners? What was their opinion of Jesus for doing so? Remember who the Pharisees are. If the Pharisees are the governor, what do politicians say? Every 4 years or 2 years, depending on what they are, then they're of the people. And as soon as they get elected, you won't see them no more. And if you do see them, it's for political reasons. And like DeWine, they're going there, but everybody's got to know about it because he's trying to say, see, I'm one of the common folks. I also drink coffee from Purebred. I also eat candy from Grandpa Joe's. And you're like, we can't find you, man. You're hiding in Columbus or in Cedarville. But why do you think, do you think the Pharisees did that? Did they frequently rub shoulders with sinners? Remembering who the Pharisees are and the scribes are more of the teachers, the priests, and the Pharisees more of this high-class Sanhedrin. They're religious, but they're really more political figures. They're really more government than anything in the Jewish spectrum. Do you think that they rubbed shoulders, and what did they think of Jesus? Right. Right. Yep, class system. I've always said that. More than, that's why I don't believe in critical race theory. More than black and white, it's rich and poor. Poor people hang with poor people. Rich people hang with rich people. Middle class, hang with middle class. I mean, it's just kind of how the world has always been. What do you think? Anybody else? You think that they hung out with them?
It sounds like they were more righteous.
Yeah. They're legalist. They're too good. You know that a lot of churches don't grow because they don't want anybody new to come in? Because they're too legalistic. Because they say, well, you did this and this and this, and we don't want you to come in here because you're bad. When good churches go, we want all the bad people to come in so we can get them saved and teach them how to be righteous. But you have those churches, Us Four, No More, Deacons Katie Bar the Door. No, they don't want anybody else in there. Or they want people that look like them, act like them. But that's not the kingdom. That's not the gospel. That's not what it's supposed to look like, right? We're supposed to bring them all in. So I agree. What about this? How does Jesus' response show that his goals are different than those of the Pharisees? No. He's looking for people who are sick, right? The next verse there in verse 32, I didn't read it, but it says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think it's important that we remember that our goal, what our goal is, it's Evangelism Emphasis Month, our goal is to call the sick people to health. You know, we come to church, but this is maintenance for the saved people. I take blood pressure medicine and medication for diabetes, and I'm not going to die from either one of those things unless I stop taking the medicine for a long period of time. They're maintenance drugs. They keep me healthy. They're things that help me maintain my health, but they're not a complete healing, right? We're all sinners. So even when we're saved, we come in here, and you may have just did some sinning before you walked in tonight, but you're here because you know that you're sick. But you're not sin sick as where you're lost and dying and going to hell. Jesus is saying, I'm not here to call the righteous people that are saved because they already know better. I've come to heal those that are lost, that are going to die and go to hell. I came here, hey, none of you are in the hospital tonight because you don't need to go to see a physician right now. Brother Carter's in the hospital because he's sick. He needs help. I go to the hospital all the time to visit people, but I don't go there for myself just because. I don't go into the emergency room like, hey, doc, would you see me? What are your symptoms? Well, I feel great. I just wanted to come and see you. You know how much that costs just to go see the doctor, right? I ain't got that kind of copay money. I think it's really important we see that. To be a contagious Christian, we must spend time rubbing shoulders with people who don't know Jesus. What is your goal? Now, I want to be very careful here because you'll hear this for people who are worldly in their church approach. They'll say, well, see, Jesus, he sat with sinners. He hung out with sinners. Yes, Jesus hung out with the sinners, but he didn't join in their sin. Jesus went there and tried to pull them out of their sin. I know of a ministry, these people, they go into strip clubs and they try to win people to Christ. And I'm just telling you, that's wrong. Because I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you go in there and you're around alcohol and you're around nakedness and filth and these things. And they say, well, we're going in there, we're preaching the gospel. I got a good mind to say this. I doubt that's very effective. Jesus never joined in with the sin. He joined in with the sinners to teach them how to stop sinning. We got to be very careful. I've seen that one pastor down in Cincinnati years ago who went into the pulpit and drank a beer and said, see, I'm just like everyone else. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not like everyone else, and I don't drink beer, and I don't do the things that are sin. I keep myself pure from those things. I don't live my life in that fashion because I'm not afraid to be around sinners, but I'm not joining into their sin. What do you think here? How do we do this? Who comes to your mind? Think of family members or friends or someone close to you or coworkers who are lost. How can you most effectively share your faith with someone? Well, that only works when someone trusts you and respects you. You think about dating. In order to date someone, you have to start learning about them. In order to have a good relationship, you have to start building some trust and respect. All of us, in order for us to grow in our relationships, had to build some trust and some respect. My guess is you probably wouldn't come here to this church and have me as your pastor if you didn't trust and respect me at some level. And we had to build a relationship. It didn't start day one, and so that's why you're so much more effective. You know what? All the people that came with somebody for Friend Day, you're way more effective at getting that person here than me when I've never met them because they already trust and respect you. I've got to meet them to build a relationship, but people say, Pastor, could you come over to such and such's house and meet them and maybe talk to them about the Lord? They'll believe you before they believe me. Even if I'm the pastor, it doesn't, some people will, but lost people don't really have a reference for pastors. They care less. That's my title, but they don't know anything about me. So they trust you already. They respect you already. So they're probably going to come to you. I know a lot about basketball, but high school basketball players don't come to me before they go to their own coach. See what I'm saying? Because they already trust and respect their coach. Think about this. Trust and respect are at the heart of all friendships and relationships. Friendship is the product of large amounts of close proximity. You ever think about kids? Kids make friends like this. Teenagers make friends like this. Our teenagers have done an effective job of bringing people in, and now you can't tell who's been here for 5 years and who's been here for 2 days. You know why? Because as soon as they get in close proximity, because they've got Snapchat and Twitter face and all these different things, and they make friends and they can talk to each other 24/7 to where we hear our kids in there FaceTiming people and we're like, shut up, it's time for bed, right? And they're like, I'm talking to Doug. We're like, man, tell Doug to go to bed. You know, it's like all these things because they're building relationships and there's trust and respect and they're always in close proximity. The world, some of that social media has made it so nice because they're in close proximity all the time by just going, boop. I'm talking to such and such. I see their face. I see my girls walking through the house and they're going, yeah, such. I'm like, hey, I'm in my undies. Could we not do that, please? Like, wait a minute. Yeah, you know, I was like, what is going on? Like, you know, time out here. It's amazing how kids can move from a school to a new school and be immediately friends with someone because what happens? Because the more they're in close proximity with those people, but you know what happens to Christians? A lot of times our groups get shallow and we're only friends with other Christians. We should only be in partnership or relationship with other Christians, but we have to have some non-Christians around us in order to gain them in salvation. How do we do that? We're looking tonight, whether you want to share Christ with an old friend or you're thinking about reaching out to a brand new person or a new face at church, there's two questions that often arise in our life. Isn't it wrong for me to try to put effort into a new relationship to try to convert someone? Second, where am I going to find time to invest in this relationship? And that first question, is it wrong? Well, you should never have an ulterior motive. Your motive shouldn't be, well, I'm going to befriend this person just so I can see them saved. If you're genuine, your ulterior motive should be, I just want to build a relationship with this person. I just want to truly care about this person. I want to truly love them. I don't go visit people at the nursing home because I have an ulterior motive because I want something. I just go because I love them. I just want to spend time and see them, even if they don't know I'm there. It's not about that. There's no ulterior motive. When we initiate a friendship, that is a friendship that should never be contingent upon a person's conversion. I say it all the time, almost every day when I witness to someone. I really hope you come to church, but my friendship is not contingent upon you coming to my church. Can I show you how this works? And this is valuable. It works tonight. I used you guys as an example today, but the Knoth family, I've been friends with them now for 5 years, but they already had a church. But my friendship with them wasn't contingent upon where they went to church. Now, they were already saved. But it wasn't like, well, they're not coming to our church, so I'm not going to talk to them anymore. 5 years later, things happened, and here they are now as a part of our church. But if I would have had ulterior motives, the only reason I want to talk to them is because I hope they come to our church someday, and I never talked to them, you think they'd probably come to church here? Probably not. They probably go, that guy's a jerk. He acted like he was our friend until he found out we had a church, and they didn't talk to us anymore. See how that works? You leave the lines of communication open. You leave my friend Dave Fortunato. I just stopped by on a whim one time, and I'm like, hey, what's up, Dave? Then I found some things out, and I was like, oh, Dave was at our first anniversary. He was at a different church, and him and that pastor, interim pastor, came over, and that interim pastor welcomed us to the neighborhood. 4 years later, the next thing I know, here's Dave Fortunato. But if I would have just been like, ulterior motive, well, they're not going to our church, forget them. Well, even when I stopped by, I wasn't really trying to get them. I had no idea what was going on. I was just stopping by because I knew it was their house, and I'm checking them. I'm like, hey. Don's out walking. He's like, hey, Pastor Bryson's here. They come back. Next thing I know, here they are. Amen. We never have an ulterior motive. When I met the McGee's, I didn't have an ulterior motive for them to come to church. At first, I didn't even hand them a track. I just paid for the boys' haircuts because I thought they were cute. And I just sat there, and then that little voice inside your head, the Lord's like, at least hand them a track. I'm like, oh, here. Here they are. It wasn't ulterior motive. I wasn't paying for their haircuts because I was trying to get them to come to our church. I didn't have no idea. We have to be genuine. People can read when you're not genuine. People can see it. They can smell it on you. But when you're genuine, it attracts people to a level that they see you're just trying to bring good about in their lives. And the greatest thing about being a Christian is our number one command after loving the Lord is just to love our neighbors as ourselves. You do things for people because it's the golden rule, because that's how you want people to treat you, right? The second part of that is there has to be an ultimate goal. Jesus didn't have an ulterior motive. He was invited to go, and Jesus went. He just told Levi to follow him. Levi invited everybody over to his house. Jesus didn't, and Jesus showed up. But once Jesus got there, Jesus had an ultimate goal. Why are you there? Why are you hanging out with these publicans and sinners? Because I'm going to get them saved. Because he was saying, I'm going to tell them about me, eternal life. You know, we have to have an ultimate goal. It's not an ulterior motive, but our ultimate goal is to bring these folks to Christ. So in response to that second question of where am I going to find time to invest in these folks, think about it this way. We, a lot of times, underestimate how much time we actually have. We underestimate that to rub shoulders with non-Christian friends. Think just for a minute here at all the things you can invite or fun things you can do with non-Christian friends. A lot of you go to supper or dinner or lunch with your Christian friends a lot. You might go shopping. You might have a Bible study or go hiking or, God forbid, camping with your Christian friends. But when do you ever invite your non-Christian friends? Aren't all of those things possibilities to invite them to that wouldn't put you in a sin situation? Say, let's go bowling. Let's go play golf. Aren't those things that you can invite your non-Christian friends to do just as well as your Christian friends? None of them are sin. None of them are wrong that you can bring them to. And when you do that, see, what we are bad about as a church, not just ABC, but the universal church, is we're always like, hey, you should come to our church this week for Friend Day. But what's more effective is before you just invite them to church, why don't you invite them to the barbecue? The barbecue first principle is a principle. Before inviting a friend to an event aimed at primarily Christianity or church, invite them to the barbecue. Invite them to a social event. Invite them to a dinner. Invite them to go play ball. Invite them to go rub shoulders somewhere outside in a casual environment where once you're there, spiritual things can be talked about. Invite them to a Dayton Dragons game. Hey, it's 9 hours, or 9 hours, it seems like it sometimes, 9 innings of sitting there and eating. And at some point in time, during the long third inning, when you're like, this pitcher's terrible, there's going to be 10 runs, you can just be like, what do you think about Jesus? Now, if they've already bought their nachos and their pop, it probably costs $37, so they're probably just going to sit still at that point. They're like, I want to get my money's worth, right? I used to do that with my father-in-law. Praise God, he got saved. But I used to go golfing with him. I knew we had 18 holes. I'm a terrible golfer. It was going to take us 27 hours for us to get finished. By the end of the ninth hole, he was tired of me. He was like, oh, would you please stop talking about Jesus by now? But, you know, I was bringing him to a casual place. He would never go to church with me. Never. My kids got dedicated, baptized. My first time I preached, never show up to church for any of that stuff. But he'd go golfing with me. Okay. How do we rub shoulders? You know, I need to get back to it, but before the pandemic, the McDonald's on Main Street, 7 in the morning, before we had an office, and that's to my shame. I need to stop and think about this and get out there with the people. But I would just go stop in, and these older folks, some of them were in their 90s, would sit there and have coffee. So for a buck at McDonald's, and if I asked one of them to get it, it was usually like 50 cents, because I think it's 50 cents for senior saints. I'm like, hey, would you go up there and buy my coffee for me? Because I'm cheap. You know what I mean? 50 cents cheaper than a dollar. I ain't no brain surgeon, but I know that half, well, I know what half is. And there was these two Jewish ladies in their late 80s. One was 90. And you know what? The first time I sat down, they asked me what I did. I told my pastor, why are you sitting down with us? Huh? I just like talking to people in the community. I'm new here. And I would sit there week after week, sitting there talking to them. There was a couple guys and three older ladies. Sometimes there'd be more, but usually those five were always there. One guy, the tornado blew his house away, and so I was there, and I was able to talk to him. And you know, these two Jewish ladies, they went to Beth Jacob Synagogue right there on Main Street. They allowed me to talk to them about Jesus after I made a relationship with them. They began to trust me, and the strangest thing happened. These two Jewish ladies start calling me pastor, not rabbi or anything. They're like, hi, pastor, good morning. Who are you? Now, I never led them to Christ that I know of. I certainly shared the gospel with them, but it took me weeks of sitting there. They would sit there with the Dayton Daily News and a cup of coffee, and they'd sit there for 2 or 3 hours. We didn't have a building. We were at the school. The office was at my house, so I could literally just sit there for 2 or 3 hours with these people, and that's what I did. That's largely how we have built the church. You know, starting off there is just going and finding people to talk to. I think about that, and I think about this barbecue first principle. You know, the greatest place that I ever, still to this day, the place where I had the most impact in my personal life was working at the sheriff's office. Every summer, my wife and I would host a barbecue at our house, literally. And when I wasn't really on fire for the Lord, it didn't mean much. But over time, I was still a good person to those people and helpful to those people. And they knew I was a Christian. But as I grew more convicted and began to do some lay work and I was called to the ministry, something crazy started happening to the point where I led every single corrections officer on my shift to Christ. And I baptized half of them. Well, you know what happened? I invited them to the barbecue. Then I'd go to breakfast with them at Frisch's in the morning. Excuse me. Even after I started in full-time ministry, before I would go to, they would get off at 7 a.m. and I would go meet with my old shift and we'd have breakfast because some of them were still coming to church. David White and Lisa Maxfield and Rick Leisure and Catherine Morningstar, Catherine Smith now, and all those people, they started coming. Tom Hickey, all these people started coming. Now, this isn't about me. I'm just saying to you that I'm telling you how it worked in my personal life. I made a relationship. They trusted me. They respected me. And I didn't just hit them over the head for 8 hours about Jesus. I invited them to something outside of that, to the barbecue, to Frisch's. They, you know, I would go to some of their kids' sporting games. I would go to, Chandra and I would go out to eat with some of their families, some of the husbands and wives. We invited them to everything. And eventually, those people started getting saved and baptized. Some of them are still there at our sending church. That's one of the greatest blessings when I go back there or when Chandra's there for the ladies' conference, she says, you remember this person? And one of the greatest blessings is knowing the impact of just having friendships with people and that those people are there serving and in church. They got saved and baptized and living their life that way. We have to do better as Christians getting the salt out of the shaker. I'm no great cook, but I know a couple things about cooking. I cook a lot for our family. And I know that if something doesn't taste good, that it needs some more ingredients, that it needs something else. And so I'm clean about it, but the pot's here, and the pot and what's in the pot, the container, is the religious, it's the pot here. And I know that just the pot alone, if it's not good, they're probably not going to come and eat that. They're not going to just come to the church just because you asked them to come to church. But when I separate that out of the pot and put it into a bowl and taste it and go, that's not right what it needs. It needs more salt or a pinch of this or that. You know, I pull that out and I put that in and I stir it up again. You know, we've got to mix ourselves in. We don't become the sin, but we mix ourselves in with the sinners in order to make it taste better, in order to put some flavor into it. I don't agree, obviously, with Malcolm X and faith and other things, but I heard him make this analogy once, and it was completely a different context of what I'm going to use it. But how many of you drink coffee here? When you bring the coffee, I only drink coffee black, so this doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but when you bring coffee to your lip and you taste it, there's three molds, right? It's the three little bears. The coffee is too strong, too weak, or it's just right. And if the coffee is too strong, there's something you do. When a Christian comes on too strong, there's something we have to do. What do you do if the coffee's too strong? Somebody tell me something you'd do. Add some water. That's disgusting. All right. Bev said that today too, and I was like, that is so nasty. Why would you? Just drink it and chew it. Cream. Sugar. My grandma used to put milk. Like, she'd take black coffee and put milk in it, and it would be like this weird brown color. I'm like, that don't look right. I thought that's not how the Folger commercial looked. I'm not drinking that. But you know what happens when you do that? When a Christian comes on too strong, when it's just black coffee, it's too strong. Some people can't handle that, as evidenced by the coffee I make on Sunday mornings. People are like, oh boy, like, I'll wake you up. I think it's so good. It's delicious. Black silk. It's just perfect. I mean, it's the Lord's brew. Amen. That's why it's Hebrews. But listen, listen, bad preacher jokes. Listen, I think this is important though. Sometimes Christian, that salt, remember it's an ingredient from the first week. Sometimes we come off too strong, we got to add a little sugar to it, a little cream. It's still coffee at the base, but people are better able to digest it. They're better able to stomach it when we add some ingredients in, when we add some sweetness in. And so we may have to say, I know, if you just come in and say, you should come to our church Sunday school is at this time, it might be a little too dark and rich for it. But if you say, hey, I want to get you over to my house and just play some disc golf or hang out and play some cards. And then once they're there, you know, it's still coffee. You start playing a little bit and you start saying, you know, we talked about that at church the other day. And you just start kind of putting that in there. What it does is it puts you in close proximity, not in their sin, but it gets the sinner in your spectrum and you're able to start doing it. One of the failures of the church is that we promote, which is good, listen to me. We don't want saved people dating non-saved people. That's unequally yoked. We don't want saved people getting into business partnerships with lost people. That's not correct according to the book of Proverbs and other places. But what we do want is to rub shoulders with sinners so we can see sinners change to saints. And in order to do that, one of the things we have to do, and that people will say, well, this is why I homeschool my kids. I'm not getting into that debate. That's not my point. My point is this. Somehow, some way, biblically, we've got to get out of our comfort zones, get out from amongst only Christians, and rub shoulders with lost people. How we go about that, you'll have to figure out for yourself, but I want to look at these questions and we'll be finished here. How does the idea of no ulterior motive, here on your reflection questions, or only ultimate goal affect your thoughts on building friendships in order to share Christ? How does it affect you? How does that idea, no ulterior motive, only ultimate goal, affect your thoughts on building friendships in order to share Christ? Everybody becomes a friend, yeah. I always say, you can't have too many good people in your life. There's lots of lost people that are good people. They're just not saved, right? But they can still be moral. Most of you who got saved as adults were probably semi-moral. I was a semi-moral guy. I just wasn't saved. See what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was beating my wife or cheating or falling down drunk. I knew right from wrong. I had never been to jail or been charged with anything, but I just wasn't saved. What about this one? I've been talking about these three non-Christian friends. Maybe you did a yellow ball. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you still need to. We have plenty of them up there. I would encourage you to do that, but our balls are filling up. If you look back there, we're going to run out of room before the end of the year. Praise God. All these people getting saved and baptized. Recall or bring to your mind your three non-Christian friends that you've been praying for these past several weeks. How can you increase your proximity to those people? A lost family member, how can you get them closer to you? Can you invite them over for dinner? A lost friend, how can you get them closer? Can you ask them to go golfing or go do something with you? Yep, get something to eat. Which of your regular activities can you use to build these relationships? Think about your regular activities. Which activities would be especially appealing to these friends? You know, one of the things that we did early in our marriage, a lot of our friends, and again, I wasn't saved until really early then, but early on, I remember one young man, Chandra would cook, and he'd be over at dinner. We had the boys. He was like our third child. And he was a single guy, and he'd come over, he'd hang out, and he'd play with the boys, and he's like, this food is delicious. Like, he didn't have any home-cooked meals, so he'd be over there. And eventually, we led that guy to the Lord. And then I married him and his wife, who's a Christian girl, and they're still in church. And, it was just like, this is something that he needs. Like, he doesn't have any family. He didn't really have a family to speak of. And, we were friends. And it's like, come over. We got in so close proximity to the house we lived in. My boss at the sheriff's office, he got married, and he bought the house right across the street from where we lived. And he still lives there. And Chandra was friends with his new woman. And all those people, we got them to church and these different things. We hung out. And it all started with just fellowship outside of church, just hanging out. How can you build these relationships? Which activities would be especially appealing to these friends? Think about it. My father-in-law wasn't coming to church, but he loves to golf. Sometimes you got to get out of your zone. I heard this, and this happened to me once. Old boy out in Wilmington, he was a farmer, and I was talking to him about the Lord on visitation one night. And, of course, I'm not a big farmer, but I had to go out into his world, and I was leading to the Lord. And when I said, well, we need to pray, we need to accept Christ, he got down in the middle of this field, in the middle of this pig pen. It was literally a pig pen. There was pigs running around. And I'm like, okay, there's mud and poop, and this is disgusting. And he knelt down. Well, when the person that's lost is about to pray and they kneel down and you're the preacher, you're like, oh. So here I'm in my dress pants, and I kneel down and we pray to accept Christ. So many Christians are so afraid to get other people's dirt on them that they never go get into the muck and mire. Jesus says, I'm going to go into that house where the publican sinners, where everybody's going to look at me and go, ew, nasty, because I have an ultimate goal and no ulterior motive, right? Christian, we've got to look. I have no ulterior motive, only a goal, the barbecue first principle. I encourage you to invite three of your non-Christian friends. Watch. I encourage you in this to invite them to church. But this is Wednesday. Before you do that, I encourage you to try to find a way that you can get into their world. So you got tonight, you've got tomorrow, you got Friday, you got Saturday. Now, with technology, there's all kinds of different ways. This sounds corny, but you might be able to like, hey, you want to play some online chess? This is kind of funny, but I hear Xavier and Jake and Gavin back there. These geeks get on the games, and they're talking, and I can hear them literally witnessing to people because they're already invited into something that they all like. So all these lost friends, Xavier's little friend Carter was here on Sunday. They like to lift weights, so he led them to the Lord at the gym because it was something that a lost friend already liked to do. So he put himself in close proximity. I'm going to tell you this with the right heart. These teenagers are killing you grown-ups at getting close in proximity and winning people to Christ and getting them to church. They just are. Myself included, don't think I'm to my shame. The little kids, I don't even want to start because they're way better at this than us. They'd be mad at the teachers they can't hand out a tract. They'd be yelling. They'd be like, what? You said I can't, my pastor said I can hand out these tracts. You know, take these tracts, teacher. Like, I'm getting calls from parents like, yeah, such and such got kicked out of school because they wouldn't stop handing out tracts. I don't know nothing about that, but. We got to get in close proximity, even when it's getting other people's dirt on us. So here's what I encourage you. Next week, we're going to talk about clear communication. Once we're in close proximity, we've got to know how to clearly and effectively communicate the gospel. Once we get it, because the goal is not to just hang out forever. There's an ultimate goal, remember? And the goal is to communicate clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray here tonight. Brother AJ, if you'll spark up that song, I pray that you'll pray for your friends. I'll pray that you pray. Pray for God to give you divine appointments to get you in close proximity. That's one of the things that we're missing with getting in close proximity. Why don't you pray for it? The altar's open. Why don't you come tonight and pray for it? Hey, the altar's open. We had a wonderful week. We're having a revival at Assurance Baptist Church without having a revival meeting. Maybe you just come tonight and thank God. Praise Him. Altar's open. You come tonight. Come on.
Is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Are you tired and troubled? Weighed down by a heavy load? Praying for change, searching for faith, waiting on a miracle. Are you drowning in questions? Can't believe where the road has led. There's one who knows the heavy you hold. And he says, come to me. There's a peace that can hold you, and a power greater than your own. When you feel so small, back to the wall, that's when Jesus calls. Come to me.
Blessed be your name.